Good evening.
Good evening. How are you, Pastor?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
All right, Sister Donna, I got a new number.
Well, look at you.
Yeah.
Why the new number? What happened?
Xfinity tried to stick me with the phone that I did not have. I returned it. Well, I bought a phone from Walmart, and it was an iPhone. They told me it was going to be a certain price. And so I was like, okay. Well, within a 14 days, I got a bill, and the bill was way over what they told me. So I took the phone back within the 14 days and returned it. They gave me my information, my receipt and all that. And then between Walmart and the phone company within Walmart, they lost the phone. They said somebody took it. They can't find it. That's not my problem. I got my receipts. I got my information. I got both of you guys on the line. Y'all need to settle that amongst y'all. Well, they tried to stick me with the $1,400 bill. And since Verizon at the time was Verizon without Xfinity, and then they merged, they tried to stick me with it. I'm like, nope.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
they played the game, huh?
They tried to play the game, so they told me that I owe them $799. I said, okay. Left it right there, because when push come to shove and they start doing the credit, I'll be able to return my, give them my receipts, and then hopefully they'll solve it from there.
Wow.
Yeah,
I
went
back and
forth.
Cell phone companies. Yeah, cell phone companies are really bad. And who was the company? Was it Verizon?
That was Verizon, and they went back with me about 6 months, and then they decided just not say anything else. And then after a while, they merged with Xfinity, and they were like, okay, we're going to get her. But the bad part is I was paying my bill, and it was, you know, creeping up. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to call Xfinity and find out why my bill is going up when it should be going down. They told me, well, you have two lines. Yes, I have two lines, and both one of my phones is free, and one I'm supposed to be getting a credit. Found out the free phone was not free at all. They charged me for that too. I was like, you know what? I'm going to tell y'all this. You got me that time, but you ain't going to do it again. Nope, that's it.
Yeah. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me twice, shame on. Wait a minute, it's the other way around, right?
Right.
Fool
it's
me
the
once,
other way
shame
around.
On you. Fool me twice, shame on
shame
me.
On me.
I wasn't paying attention. Yeah, amen. I got you. God bless you. Who else just joined us? Okay. All right, keep going, Sister Donna.
Yeah. Oh, well, we know they out there. God bless you.
Yeah. Absolutely. They'll pop back in. I think that, you know, because a lot of times people lose connection and then they have to dial back in. So how's everything else going? I hadn't spoken to you in probably about, what's it, 2 weeks now?
Yeah, about 3 weeks. Probably about 3 weeks.
That's
last
a long
week
time.
I popped in. It is a long time, and I was like, I'm missing it. So I had to get back, get back in there. So I called myself going to come on Thursday last week to find no one really was saying they was going to be there. I'm like, wait a minute, what's wrong? And so a couple of sisters was on the line, and I was like, look, I'll be right back. I said, I know what to do. I'm going to find AD. I'll be right back. And when I got back, they were praying. I'm like, that's right. I told them we're going to have it regardless if he don't come, or, you know, we're going to still do something. We're going to pray.
Praise the Lord.
I told them, I say, when two or three gather together, and that's all I had to say. They was like, yep. When I went and called AD, I couldn't reach him, so I went on back to the line. I couldn't reach him in person, put it like that, but I left him a message. Mm-hmm. By the time I got back to the line, he was on there. I was like, okay, amen.
Yeah,
and they were
the
praying. Yes.
Yep. Someone else just joined us. Who just joined? He just joined Chicago. It looks like a Chicago number. I just can't make out the number. Is there someone else on the line? Please acknowledge yourself.
I wonder, is that Adam? Because sometimes I know he be having some numbers.
Is Adam on the line? Amen. That's all right. We love you anyhow. Maybe you can't hear us. Or maybe you're on mute, but I'm looking for the person that just dialed in about a minute ago. Can you acknowledge yourself? I guess they don't want to.
Praise
the Lord.
Right. That's all right.
So God bless you anyhow. We're glad you're here. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. So as we're waiting for people to join us, Sister Donna, so what else has been going on? Has God done anything that you want to share, things that are going on around you? How's Dad doing? And
Dad is doing pretty great, I must say. Classes is coming right along. It's a little rough start. You know, I hate to say stuff because a lot of times when you say stuff, then stuff come up on you. But I'm just going to say... Mm-hmm. My student teaching is going, and we agreed on one way, they call them CTs, the teacher of the classroom,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cooperating teacher is what she called. We had one plan. We wrote it down. We was talking about it, and when I actually started in the class, everything was totally different. Like, oh, no, you can't do this like that, and you need to bring this. I'm like, are you kidding me? So we already had this discussion. Look, here's my paper right here. This is what we planned. I'm like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, it started off a little rough. I heard somebody else must have joined us.
Mm-hmm. That's Brother Waller. Brother Tavares, God bless you. How are you?
God bless. I'm well. Blessed.
God bless.
How you doing?
Amen.
How's everybody? There's only three of us?
That's yeah, it seems like there are three of us here currently, yourself, Sister Donna, and one other person that we don't know who they are, and I'm hoping that they'll say hello and we'll get a chance to hear your voice. We're asking you that not to embarrass you, but just to welcome you. So whoever that other person is, if we didn't call your name, please acknowledge yourself.
Sometimes you get people who just want to listen. So, but they could say just listening.
Yeah, just listening, or hello everybody, and you know we want to be welcoming and make sure that you know that we love you with the love of Christ. So whether you speak or not, we're glad you're here. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Brother Tavon, how was your week?
Oh, my week is going wonderful. It's going wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going as planned, and haven't had any tragedies or anything, so I'm not complaining about anything. Everything's good. Yeah.
Yeah, dramaless is wonderful, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Yeah. I think some people don't know the difference between being bored and being without drama.
Yeah. Right. They're so used to drama.
Yeah, so used to drama that we think is boring when there's nothing going around. But praise the Lord, I'll take peace all day long.
All day long.
So we're right at 5:39. We're going to go ahead and open up in prayer. Brother Dewan, God bless you. Thank you for joining. We are going to go ahead and have opening prayer. And then we're going to go to the book of Romans, and we're going to complete chapter 3, I believe it was. Wasn't it, Brother Waller?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
I'm
not sure what verse. I'm not sure exactly.
Yeah, I think we left off at
14.
Yeah, I think we left off at 23.
Oh, 23. Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. The person that's on the line that has not spoken, we hope and pray that you have a Bible. If you do not, if you let us know, we will send you a Bible, even if you're in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get you a Bible. Because it's important to have the Word of God and be able to read it for yourself and not just listen to it, because when you read it for yourself, God just, He honors His Word. He gives you the revelation you need for your life. So if you need a Bible, let us know. We'll absolutely get you one. All right? So Sister Donna, if you'll be kind enough to open us up in prayer.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Father, for tonight, Lord, allowing us to come to this line, Lord. Watching over those that are going to come, those that want to come and just can't. Father, we ask you to bless each and every house represented and bless those that are coming. Let the word go out, Lord, and let it land where it needs to land, giving us a great understanding and revelation. Father, let us get what we need from the food. In Jesus' name we praise you and we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Mm-hmm. We're in Romans, the third chapter. We're going to start off at verse 23, which is probably a most commanding and a most amazing scripture, because it gives us the clear understanding that you don't get to earn a relationship with Christ. It is an act of grace, and grace is something that's given to us that's unmitigated. You didn't ask for it. You didn't do nothing to earn it, but it's there for us the minute that we make a decision that we want to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And once we accept him as Lord and Savior, all of our past infractions, everything we've ever done, regardless of how bad it looks, how bad it feels, and how bad it seems, he will eradicate. Now, will people forget about it? No. But he will heal people as we move forward. And I think that's important to discuss with everybody, because the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And a lot of times, you know, especially when we've done some things wrong, you know, we come into the kingdom, we accept Jesus Christ, and then we sit back and worry forever and needlessly over past infractions, past issues that we've had. But with God being the same yesterday, today, and forever, it is telling us if we move forward with God, God can go backwards in our past and start having people forgive us.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. I hope you get it.
Amen.
That he'll go back in your past and the things that you've done wrong, all of a sudden you'll find people going, I'm okay with you now. But because they'll see the new you and they'll be able to accept the fact that the old things really have passed away, and he speaks to their hearts, and he gets forgiveness to come out of them. So that's if there's nothing else in the world that's important about having a relationship with God, that is it. He fixes family relationships. He fixes old, you know, girlfriend boyfriend relationships where you've been hurt or you hurt people, and you'll go back and fix that stuff, at least in a way that the person can now be in your presence. And you don't have to be in a negative place with them. So let's start at verse 23, and let's talk about that for a moment. Brother Tavon?
Amen. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be propitiation, through
propitiation. Propitiation, which means the payment for. He paid for the sin, paid for our mistakes. Go ahead.
Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but the law of faith.
Stay right there. Let's talk about that.
Yes.
Let's talk about that. I'm going to open that up for discussion, if I may. I'm going to reread it for us, and I'm going to ask you to listen to it, and then I'm going to ask you to comment on it. Verse 23, for all have sinned, and they've come short of the glory of God, being justified freely only by his grace through the redemption that comes through Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be the payment through faith in him, right, and in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. So where's your boasting going to come from? Is it going to be, is it excluded? Did you not boast? By what law do you get to boast? Because you'll be doing good works? No, but by the law of the faith that you have in Jesus. What in the world did he just say? That was a whole mouth full, heart full, mind full. It was a belly full. What did he just say? I'm going to open it up.
It says that you got to trust in God and all his ways and beliefs and systems. Yeah. You got to believe. You got to believe. Trust his word and his statements in the Bible. Yeah.
You got to trust his word, trust his saying in the Bible. Correct?
Yep.
Amen. All right.
Yep.
What else? Brother Waller?
Saying to me that all mankind has sinned.
Mm-hmm.
No one is perfect in that aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But we are justified by the grace of God, which is a gift to all that believe in him.
Amen.
That believe in Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
So go ahead.
And the righteousness of no man has righteousness within himself.
Within himself. Come on now.
But the righteousness comes from those, it comes from Christ. So the faith in Christ is where our justification comes from. Because in God, the Father's eyes, only Jesus is righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Only the righteousness of Jesus is good to God. Another scripture says that we are, our righteousness is like dirty rags, filthy rags,
mm-hmm.
just dirt. So
mm-hmm.
it's impossible to be righteous unto God through our own accord or our own self-righteousness is what it's called. There's no self-righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
In
no.
But what got me is when it speaks of the law of faith, that you know, it's like that's what I want to talk about a little more in depth.
Okay.
What does that mean by the law of faith? So faith is a law. It must be, because God said that it's impossible to please him without faith.
Mm-hmm.
So it's demand. It's a demand,
mm-hmm.
but it's kind of it's interesting that it's worded that way to me.
Very good. We'll touch that. Go ahead, Sister Donna.
It also says faith without work. Well, or am I saying it back? Work without faith is dead. So you got to have the faith.
Faith without works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, faith without works is dead. Yeah. So you got to have faith.
Talking about, yes. That's how it's in, too.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about faith. What is faith? Let's talk about the difference between the law of faith and faith. What is faith?
When I say I have unshakable faith, I say I have unshakable faith, I mean, basically, I've seen too much that God has done for me, and I've had people come to me and tell me, you know, it don't work like that, and I have to tell them, oh, yes, it does, because I've seen it. I've witnessed it. I'm a living witness of it. So faith is things that's not seen. People who, you know, you don't have to see it for it to really be there. To me, faith is trusting in God and standing on his word and believing that he say he's going to do what he's going to do. And a lot of times he do it without even you asking, even before you think about it and try to worry about it, he done already worked it out. So, yeah, that's my thing about faith. And mine is unshakable, so can't nobody just come and tell me anything. So.
Amen. Amen and amen. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Me too. Me too. Cause,
Go ahead, the one.
Me too. Doug said I'll be a vegetable, but the darkened, eating food, and enjoy my life. Like, it's not. It might never be what I wanted to be, but God still got me in his dreams. Yep. Like,
yes, sir. So the doctors told you you would be a vegetable. For those who don't know, DeJuan was in a very, very severe car accident as a young man and could not take in food, paralyzed, comatized, and a whole 9 yards. And for the most part, the doctors reported to his mother, there's just nothing, we can take care of him, but he'll never be able to do too much of anything. You just need to accept that. But DeJuan developed a relationship with God. He couldn't talk before. The way you hear him now, he may not be super clear to you when he speaks, but there was a time he couldn't speak. There was a time that he could not walk, but now he can stand up and move around for long periods of time that he shouldn't even be able to do. Amen. I know about it because I've seen it happen. Praise the Lord. And we're not telling you something that we're just making up. I'm telling you what I've seen for myself.
Yeah.
Right? When he first started coming to New Covenant Church of Christ. But now let's go. So thank you for that, DeJuan. Now go ahead, Brother Tamar.
What did I want to say? A couple things. Every, like, this physical realm has laws within it. It's termed the law. Right? And they work whether we believe they work or not. As a matter of fact, if we don't believe they work against us. And it's kind of for an example, the law of gravity. You get on that cliff, you can pray all you want to. Do whatever you want to do, say whatever you want to say. If you get on that cliff and jump, the law of gravity is going to do what it does. Right?
Yes, sir.
That's how I see the law of faith working. If you know about the law of gravity, it can work in your favor, and it works whether you believe it or not. If I'm sitting down in this chair, I can be aware of it or not, but it's doing what it's supposed to do. The law of electricity, if I don't know about it, it can hurt me. But if I know about it, I can use it for my advantage. So when I look at the law of faith, same concept. If I know about it, it can work in my advantage. But it's there whether I know it or not.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing, it was a very good question you asked. What is faith? Because I had a conversation with one of my clients one time, and he was talking about blind faith. And I don't necessarily agree with blind faith. Because my faith is in God. So it's not blind. So I understand that I don't see faith with my eyeballs. But when I'm walking in the spirit and I'm thinking spiritually, I don't see anything with my eyeballs. So that's a good question. What is faith? Is it belief? Or is faith something different than belief? Now, we can quote the scriptures of what the Bible says that faith is. But still kind of tricky to get a true understanding to what faith really is.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Brother Arnold, thank you for joining. God bless you.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you guys.
God bless you, brother.
So we're going to talk about that for a minute. Brother Tavon, we're talking about Arnold Wynn, Roman.
Mm-hmm. What you say, Apostle? You guys in what?
Romans chapter 3.
23, yep. Mm-hmm.
We're in like, what is that, verse 20, 27, actually. We're talking about the law of faith and faith itself. I don't know what happened to Apostle. I think he
probably like, fell off for a minute. Mm-hmm. We started at 23 and we're at 27.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Sister Wanda is here too. I'm at an event and still wanted to not miss Bible study, so I'm listening in. Just on me.
That's Sister Wanda.
Hey,
God bless you, my sister. How are you?
Hey, Sister
Wanda. Sister Wanda, can you hear us?
Yes, sir, I can hear.
Oh, amen. Thank you for being here. I now know who that Chicago number is. Praise the Lord.
That was me.
Solid on it for a long time, though. Praise the Lord.
See, look, I'm at an event, but I being intentional, I set my alarms and I said I'm still logging in today, so I'll be on tomorrow as well. So. Not missing.
Yes, ma'am. All right. So now let's talk about that part. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And then verse 27, by what law? Law of works? No. But by the law of faith. So what is the law of faith? And I want us to go back to, and what is faith? So it's going to, when you go to the kitchen, and you get ready to eat dinner, there are typically chairs at the table, right?
Yes.
All right. And when you sit down in the chair, what makes you think it's going to hold it up and hold you? The fact that you've seen it hold somebody else.
That's right.
So the Bible talks about man has a modicum of faith. And so what a modicum of faith is when I've seen something do something for somebody else and I believe it'll do it for me. That's a modicum of faith. Right?
Yes.
So then what does the law say? Now let's go back to Romans 2 and Romans verses 11. Romans 2, verse 11. I want you to catch this. Praise the Lord. And then I'll explain it to the best of my ability. The way that the Lord has helped me to understand it. Amen. Ready?
Yes.
Romans 2:11. For there is no respect of persons with God. So we know that God doesn't care, and he doesn't respect us because we're tall, doesn't respect us because we're short, he doesn't respect us because we're black or white or pink or purple. So what is it that God respects if he doesn't respect my personage? If he doesn't respect the fact that I've gotten 3 degrees, I have a PhD. He doesn't respect it. He could care less how many degrees I have. That only works for me with mankind, right?
Amen.
So if God is no respecter of persons, what does he respect? Principles.
Amen.
He respects principles. Why? Yes. Because principles are like gravity. God put principles in the earth that will work for somebody regardless of who you are. Regardless of how tall, how short, how many people lied to you, how many people cheated you, those things don't matter to God. What matters is, are you using the principles I've given you written in this book? There are principles. There are financial principles that tells me if I do certain things, even in giving an offering, like tithing and offering, those are principles. Why do you think it was a law back in the Old Testament? Think about this. So in the book of Malachi, the 3rd chapter, they talked about the tithing, and the Bible says try God and see if he won't open up a window and pour you out blessings that you won't have room enough to receive. We're talking about the tithing. The Old Testament, part of the Old Testament, one of the principles was you had to give 10% of everything you had. Only your gain, you had to put 10% of that back into the kingdom in order for you to continue to grow and prosper. It was a principle. Let me give you another principle. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's a principle, not just a commandment. Anything that Jesus says becomes a principle. It means that if you do it, it has some ramification, reciprocity that's going to come out of that principle that's going to be a blessing to you. Mm-hmm. So in the New Testament, they go from things like tithing to talking about offerings. They don't talk about tithing in the New Testament. The only place you'll see the word tithing is in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, when they bring up Melchizedek, right? And they talk about Melchizedek's relationship with Abraham, because what he's talking about is the principle of tithing. That if that when you really see godly things taking place and you see the power of God around you, you need to give to it because it becomes a principle. And then Jesus reiterates that principle in the book of Matthew when he says, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. Well, what was he talking about? He was talking to the people because you never saw Jesus ask for one offering. Never. You never saw Jesus tell anybody to tithe. Never. What you did see, though, was there were people who would bless Jesus's ministry because they would give to him based on how their hearts were moved. So the principle, as they gave, they received something. The people that went to him knowing he was Lord and asked for healing received healing. Why? Because they were functioning out of a principle. Amen. So there are principles over finances. There are principles over our health. That's why God gives us in the book of Genesis, he even talks about the types of foods you should eat. He says, stay away from them cloven hoofed animals. Don't be eating pork. Don't eat this. Why? It's a principle. And the principle is if you don't eat those types of foods, he talks about don't eat meats that have been strangled. Remember we read that in the book of Acts? Don't eat things that still have blood in them. Right? Your steak is not acceptable before God. Yes. It's a principle. Now, is God going to send you to hell for eating it? The answer is no. What is going to happen is your body is going to catch hell as you get older. Because something in that blood, when you're eating raw steak, is going to infect your blood system because the spirit of a thing is in the blood of the thing. And so what you eat can infect your body. There are a lot of people who have things like, who have diseases that are blood-borne diseases because they are actually eating raw meats. Anybody listening? Does this make sense? So there are principles God put in place. What is the principle of peaceful living? Love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. That is the principle that he gave us in order to have peace around us.
Amen.
Oh, God.
Question.
And so, so the principle of faith, the law of faith, is what you see in Rome in Hebrews 11:1. Go there real quick, please. Hebrews 11.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I think he went out again.
He said 11:1-14. 11:1 Hebrews, the laws of faith. Apostle, if you're still on the line, we can't hear you.
I lost you. I'm sorry, say it again.
Yeah. I was just saying we can't hear you if you were on the line. You were on mute or something.
Yeah, that was my Bluetooth kicking in. I apologize. So it becomes a principle. Hebrews 11:1. Watch this. Mm-hmm. Let me know when you're there.
Amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I can have a modicum of faith, meaning I can look at other people. I mean, you look at somebody drive a car, you realize I can drive a car. That's faith. But that's man faith. That's the kind of faith that God gives us to build the world and prosper and go forward with things, because when I see you do it, after I watch you and I go, hey, that's pretty easy. I can do it. I got faith in myself now. However, if I get sick,
amen.
And I got sick with something that other people have died from.
Mm.
Now I got to use something that ain't there. Now I got to use something that supersedes that level of faith, because faith is meant to override what the natural world keeps telling your brain is real. That's what faith is. The law of faith is there to overrule, supersede what the world says. You go to the doctor says you got a spot on your lung. Well, and that spot typically means cancer. They turn around and they take a biopsy. They find cancerous cells there. You got cancer. But then you turn around and go to the church and you stand before a holy and a righteous God and you say, by your stripes I'm healed, and some folks lay hands and start praying on you, and you go back to the doctor and the doctor says, well, we don't see what we saw. Somebody used the law of faith to overcome to overcome what looks natural in the world. There's some people on this phone that have been dead already.
Amen.
I'm one of them.
Yes, sir. I'm another one. Yeah.
Every man, every male in the Monroe family. Every male in the Monroe family, my father, my uncle, and my other uncle, three of them, my auntie, sorry, four. Everyone died at 50, 51, 53, 55. One of my half-brothers called me, because he's a Stevens, I'm a Monroe. This is true, absolutely true. Called me and said to me one day, at the age of 49, it's your 49th birthday. I said, well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. He said, you know, I'm glad you got this relationship with God. He said, because I really expected you to be dead already. This is my brother. My half-brother said these words to me. And it shocked me. He said, because that's the age your daddy died. And then your uncle died at this age. And then your uncle died at this age. You hearing me?
Mm-hmm.
When I got saved, I began to understand walking in the law of faith. And when I understood the law of faith, I stopped worrying about diseases. Listen to me good. I stopped worrying about diseases, not that I'm not conscious and not that I'm not intelligent, but I started realizing through the law of faith, God has my expiration date already written in a book.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
And since my expiration date is already written in the book, then everything that comes against me, if it ain't God getting ready to remove me, I can speak against that. That's the law of faith.
Amen.
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 Anybody hearing that?
Amen.
That is the law of faith. I can now speak against anything that Satan is doing, because the law of faith will override the concept of having a hopeful faith. And that's what the modicum of faith is, a hope. That if it worked for you, it should work for me. That's hope. Right?
Amen.
Now watch what Hebrews 11:1 says. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things that you haven't seen happen before. Oh, God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for with no evidence of things because you didn't see them.
Amen.
So
Am I making sense to anybody? So there's yes. different kinds of faith. There's faith that I see somebody else do something, and then I realize that I can do it because I watch them, and I go, that's not that hard, right? I watch one of my brothers drive a car, and I realized that I thought I can drive a car. I couldn't drive yet, but I knew somewhere deep inside of me I can do that. Everybody on this phone knew that. That's how you got to drive.
Yeah.
You don't just get in the car and take off, but you get in the car with other people and go, I can do this. Just teach me how to hold the wheel. Teach me how to put the thing. What's those numbers stand for? The letters PRD. What's the N? What does that stand for? Somebody tells you what it stands for, and you go, now that I understand how that mechanism works, I think I can drive.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now watch this. Mm-hmm. Without a little guidance, though, your first experience with driving a car, you'll probably have an accident because you haven't learned how to work it.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody takes you out and starts teaching you how to hold the wheel, not drive the car, because the car is meant to drive itself. All you have to do is keep the wheel steady. When you first get in the car, you try to turn it and twist it, thinking you're making it drive. I'm making this car drive. Praise the Lord, right? I think I'm making it drive, so I'm going here, and the car is swerving left and right because I'm moving it so much. And then I start realizing, wait a minute, I don't have to do it that way. All I have to do is hold the wheel and just keep it pointed in the direction that I want to go. Right?
Yes.
That's coming from my modicum of faith. I see it. I can do it. I can trust it. Somebody sits in the chair held them. Well, a chair can hold me. Modicum of faith. But when you get sick, when you get broke, when somebody comes and tells you they're getting ready to take you to court and you ain't did no wrong, you're going to have something more. Because when they take you to court and you ain't done nothing, you know how many people in jail that ain't done nothing? So I have to override to another level of faith what seems natural. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
What seems like it's going to happen naturally. And so that is the law of faith. The law of faith is meant to come against the laws of natural life. Anybody get it?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right? So when I get sick, I have to, I hope and pray you hear me on this. When you get sick, you have to declare healing over yourself. You can't just sit there and go, well, I'm sick. I'm just going to let sickness take its course and do whatever it does. And there you go. And hopefully I'll get better. If you know what the law of faith is, you begin to rebuke that thing in the name of Jesus. Doesn't mean it's going to go away instantly, but I guarantee you it loses power.
Amen.
It'll lose power. And watch what I'm getting ready to say. Show you how the law of faith will work in our lives. If you give it half a chance and you begin to start using it, show you how it'll work. If you've ever had a cold, you notice that you feel the cold first on the inside. It's like, I don't feel, you ain't sneezing yet. You're not coughing yet. But you feel that it's there. Right? I'm not the only one that happens to. You sort of got to feel something is there. You know, I feel like my throat is getting a little scratchy. Right? Watch this. And then eventually the cold starts showing up, you're coughing, sneezing, hacking, going through that process. When you begin to get better, you'll still be sneezing, you'll still be coughing, but on the inside you'll feel like I'm healing.
Yes, amen.
Am I right?
Good.
You're feeling on the inside way before the health manifests on the outside. I hope I got some serious believers on the phone tonight. You'll feel it before it becomes real.
Amen.
And that's what the law of faith is. You got to speak it because it's real on the inside before you can ever see it on the outside.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So you ask a good question. What is faith?
Mm-hmm.
Faith is that thing that God gave you to help you build the world, to help people do what they've done with skyscrapers and everything else. It took faith to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a modicum of faith. It was not the law of faith.
Mm-hmm.
Had they been using the law of faith, they would have made they would have taken hydrogen, they would have taken the atom and split it, and then we would have electricity from it instead of bombs.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Because the law of faith is always meant to counteract the negativity of Satan and the natural things in the world that he's doing.
Amen.
Amen.
Does that help a little bit?
Yeah.
It does. Yes.
All right. Hey, man, so now let's talk. Let's go ahead, Brother Tabak.
Let me ask you a question. So,
mm-hmm.
You spoke about principles.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm attracted to, the principles, right? But my question is this. What's the difference between a principle and a law?
Great question. Does anybody want to answer that? Anybody want to take a shot at it? What is the difference between a principle and a law?
Well, I know in the natural world, laws can change. But principles don't ever change. Principles stays. So I said earlier that scripture that says by the law of faith was interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really not fully understanding the difference between law and principles.
So, all right. So let's try it like this. And Father, I'm asking you to give me a word in season for your people so that they can receive from you and they know how to proceed. Because the word of God is a practical, applicable word in order to live by. It is not just supernatural word. It is practical life that you gave us. That's what the Bible is, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth, which means he put a bunch of principles that if you work them, they'll work.
Amen.
So, to your point, difference between a law and a principle. The law says, thou shalt not kill.
Mm-hmm.
The laws of the land says that if you kill a man, you can be locked up, you can be executed, depending on whether it's a federal or capital crime, or whether it's a, you know, they have different levels of that law. There's manslaughter. There's first-degree murder. There's second-degree murder. There's murder without intent. There's a lot of different levels of that. Those are laws, right?
Mm-hmm.
A principle is, if I love, he gave us this principle, love your neighbor as you love yourself. If I walk in that principle, the law has no right over me.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try it again. If I use the principle of loving my neighbor, I'm never going, if I use the principle of if a man slapped me, turn the other cheek, doesn't make me a coward. It makes me wise enough to know how to use the principle. And I don't turn on the man and kill him.
Mm-hmm.
The principle protects me from the law. Is that
helpful? Got you. Okay, so
the principle is there to protect me from being overcome by the law. That's the reason that the Bible says that the law is for the lawless.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to show you the scripture? Mm-hmm. The law is for the lawless. Why? Because when you're lawless, you have to have laws in order to punitively deal with you because you won't obey any principles.
Mm-hmm. Right. We just read that, actually, I think. Mm-hmm. The law the law was to, so we know what sin is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, so
the law's made it let you know that you're sinning.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But you give me an analogy or an example with the law of faith and use a principle of faith.
Okay, so the law of faith
was all through the Bible from the very beginning. The law of faith was, if I do these things, God is going to bless me. That's why he wrote 615 laws in the book of Deuteronomy, throughout the book of Leviticus. One of the laws in the book of Leviticus, if a person ended up being a leper, the law said that the priest was supposed to go in, sanctify the man for 7 days, clean up his house, and then if he goes back in and sees that the scabs are healing, the man is going to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
There was a law working with the sickness. Got it?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The principle of faith is now I can speak to that sickness. I don't have to go in and do 13 dances, jump through hoops of fire. I don't have to go get any ice buckets. I don't have to go and get any, you know, special medication. The law of faith says by his stripes, we're healed. Now I can speak to that healing. And whether the doctor gives me any medication or not, God, the law of faith or the principle of faith is now able to kick in.
Gotcha.
In the Old Testament, nobody laid hands on anybody.
Exactly. Gotcha. I got it.
There's not one place in the Bible where you'll see they laid hands on in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, he says, use the law of faith, use the principle of faith, go lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Use the principles of faith. You'll tread on scorpions. You'll be drinking deadly things and it won't kill you. And many people don't even get the fact that cola is one of the most deadliest substances out there, and you're still alive and you're drinking the mess.
Mm-hmm.
There's foods that we're eating that these folks have put so many substances in, you don't have a clue what you're eating. It looks like a chicken, it smells like a chicken, but it's really some antibiotics, it's really some growth hormones, it's a lot of different things, yet we're eating it and still surviving.
Amen. Amen.
That's why the Lord said, bless it and eat it.
Mm-hmm.
Bless it and then eat it. But yet there are some principles in place that still say, if you eat certain things and eat a certain way, go back to the book of Genesis, 3rd chapter, you'll find that there were certain food substances that God sanctified, certain things.
Yes.
So imagine, here's a thought for you. Imagine someone, there's a lot of people that's been healed and then unhealed themselves. Watch what I'm going to say. Imagine a person sitting back eating 4 or 5 pork chops a week or a day, right? And then they get high blood pressure and they go to the doctor. And the doctor says, man, this high blood pressure is going to do you in. You need to do something about it. And they go back to the church and they go back to and get on their knees at their house or whatever they do. And they say, God, please help me. And the Lord begins to help them. Blood pressure goes down and they start eating 4 or 5 more pork chops a day. Hello. A man comes to church. He puts his faith and his hope truly in the Lord. He was an alcoholic. The Lord delivers him from the alcohol. He can now stop drinking. But because he starts to living life and feeling better, he goes back and says, now I can manage my drinking. I've been delivered, and I delivered myself back into the hands of the enemy. Now is the law of faith going to work? When I say, Lord, heal me from this particular thing, no. Because why? Because the law of faith worked to get you out of it, and then you superseded the law of faith and went back to being something that you shouldn't have been, and now it's overcoming you. It'll overwhelm. If I'm a womanizer, and the Lord delivers me, and I go, okay, no, I'm not doing that anymore. Praise the Lord. I'm going to get married. I'm going to do this and do that. And then I let lust come back. Then I'll override the principal law that I was using to get out of it. Because there was a principle in place. I'm supposed to be faithful to my wife. That's a principle. Praise the Lord. Faithful.
Amen.
Principle. Right?
Yeah, when I stop lying, I stop lying, not because I want to stop lying, but it's a principle. God says, don't do it. Now, it's a principle. Mm-hmm. And if I use that principle properly, believe it or not, it will also become a law. Because the minute I stop doing it, the principle will bring about. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
The principle will bring about a reciprocity. Mm-hmm. And I wish I could get some folks to testify and tell the truth on themselves. Because before I got saved, I lied in order to get what I wanted.
Mm.
Because to me, life was about the outcome, not the input.
Mm. Amen.
If I got what I wanted, it didn't matter how I got it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But because I was a lawless individual, my credit score was about 454 backwards, negative.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was buying stuff and not paying for anything. And mm-hmm. I'll just get it because I could get it. I could lie just to get what I wanted. I could do certain things and so forth and so on. I did that, right? But every time I did it, I had a negative backside of it. It brought about a negative consequence. Watch this. So I got saved. When I got saved and I started reading the law of truth, I'm going, okay, how am I going to fix my life? Because I can't go in here and lie to these people anymore. If I go in to get a job, I can't tell these people I've not been arrested.
Mm-hmm.
How is this going to work?
Mm-hmm.
Watch the principles.
Mm-hmm.
And so I began to understand, wait a minute, there's some principles here. And the principle is, if I do right, God is going to do right by me. That's what grace is, right? Grace isn't me not earning it. But it's that it's been given, and I got to trust it. It's given, and I need to trust it. So I went in, and I put in for a job, and I told the people I was a recovering alcoholic. I told the people, yes, I've been arrested several times. And not only was I was arrested for cashing bad checks even. And I'm working, I'm getting ready to get a job in a place where I'm getting ready to get people's checks. The man looked at me and he said, Mr. Monroe, he said, I noticed that you're in recovery. And I said, yes, sir, I am. And he said, is the recovery doing anything for you? I said, it's doing a lot for me because it's not just recovery, it's discovery. I'm not just going through not using drugs. I'm starting to understand why I was living that way. I'm starting to understand what was wrong and how I was just doing things with no real purpose. I was angry. I was disgruntled with life. Mm-hmm. I thought life was all about, you know, just get what you want the best way you can get it. And now I know I got to do it right. That's why I'm telling you what I'm telling you. Because I want to work here, but I also want to do the honest things so that you don't have to not trust me. That man said, Mr. Monroe, you hired.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Watch the beauty. And praise the Lord. This is all true. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. Not only did I get hired there, God has sensitized my heart. You know how the Bible talks about you have to be circumcised of the heart. That's who the true Jews are. Not them that are of the culture, but those whose hearts have been circumcised by God. Those are the Jews. And so my heart had gotten so softened that literally when I would call and set appointments for different reps I was working with, I would talk to people. They would say, yeah, I'd love to meet with them. However, I'm going through this in my business and I got this issue. And I would say, sir, is it okay if I came over and help you? And I would go over there and help them people sincerely.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't know, here's the grace part. Didn't realize that God was touching those people's hearts, and they were calling back on my job saying, man, you got such an awesome guy working for you. It's amazing. He came over and helped carry out garbage. Didn't have to do it. Didn't ask for any money, so forth and so on. And about 2 months later, the guy that owned the business came to me and he said, Mr. Monroe, we need to talk. Same guy that hired me. We need to talk. I'm thinking I'm in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I done did something wrong. Because I'm so used to doing wrong, so used to having wrong results. And he says, Mr. Monroe,
He said, I got to share this with you. He said, I got people calling me, telling me about what you've done, how you've helped them. And many of them have set appointments with the reps. The reps have been able to go out there and sell them advertising and so forth and so on because of your actions. He said, I'm going to have to let you go. Watch this. I'm going to have to let you go because I made you a manager of the telemarketing appointment setting team. I'm going to let you go because I need to put you on as a rep. And I said, what? He said, I want to put you into the sales team. I need for you to go out and talk to people. And I said, my honest words to him, I said, I don't know that I can do that. And he said, why? I said, because I was in sales before and I lied all the time. And I don't want to get into something that'll have me lying again because it'll release all those defects that God has just delivered me from.
Mm-hmm.
Those defects are leaving me. I don't want that again. And he said, no, it doesn't work like that. He said, this is more consulting, not selling. If they don't want it, they don't want it. You don't have to worry about that. We don't have any type of a productivity standard on you. I just want you to go out. And I said, can I go home and talk to my wife about it and I'll get back to you? And he said, yeah, absolutely. I went home and got on my knees and I prayed and I asked God, I said, God, what do I do? Oddly enough, the Lord said this, go forward. And if it don't work, ask him, can you have your other job back? First point of wisdom I started receiving, boy, that was wise. And I went and said those things to the man. He said, absolutely. If this doesn't work for you, we'll put you back as a manager in telemarketing. Thank you. So I go and I do the work. And I'm touching people's lives because I'm telling them about my experience in God, even though I'm over there talking to them about advertising and marketing and a phone book. And God started giving me this enormous amount of wisdom on how to design ads, how to speak to the community for this company's sake to get them to buy things from this person. And by the time the year was over, that company got bought out by a larger company who had phone books in 22 states. The regional manager came in and sat down with me, and he says, I'm paying attention to you. And I said, okay. And I'm thinking, okay, what does he mean? 3 months later, the man came and offered me a position as a manager, and he said to me very clearly, we've never promoted anybody within until they've been here a year. But almost all the reps come to you for guidance. All the people you're managing without having the title. So I'm asking you to become a manager. We want to transfer you up to Wisconsin. We just opened up a market. It was when I became the principal changed all my outcomes, learning to live by the principles that are in this book. Don't lie to folks, right? Don't backbite. Don't gossip. Those are principles. And so when we look at it and read it as just a word, you can sort of kind of overlook it. But when you look at it and say, this is a principle that God wants me to follow for a reason. Faith is a principle. And if I follow the principles of faith, I'm going to eventually get the benefits of faith.
Amen.
And what are the benefits of faith? Praise the Lord. What are the benefits of faith? They are there to allow you to do supernaturally what you cannot see in the natural. So by following that faith, and I go back and I digress, I'm very, very transparent, and I think everybody here knows that. When I was coming through that program, I had two pair of pants, three pair of pants and two shirts to my name, 1997. Following those principles that God laid out, talking to people properly, learning to exalt people rather than insult them, the principle. It's not just a thing that God puts in the Bible. It's a thing he's saying, if you use this principle, it has benefits to it. But you have to use the principle. So I learned to exalt people rather than insult people. I stopped being angry with white people. I started forgiving them. And then I asked God for forgiveness for me being racist.
I'm going to do that one again because it took me a minute to realize I was just as racist as any white person. Well, God is no respecter of persons. He don't care about your color. He cares about the principle. I stopped being mad at their color, and I started dealing with their principles. I ain't mad at you no more. I'm mad at some of the principles you use. And now that I know the difference between being mad at your culture and your color, I can now speak to anybody about a bad principle because I know what good principles are now. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I know what good principles are meant to do. I know what's right and wrong now. And so I don't have to go and say, them white folks do this, because then I'm just as prejudiced as they are. I'm generalizing them like they generalize us. And so when God says I'm no respect of persons, he had to give me, anybody getting this? He had to give me a revelation on it. And the revelation on it was, if you have issues with white people and I don't have issues with white people, then you made yourself a God. You better get down from that totem pole and get yourself on the bottom of a servant's ladder and be able to realize it don't matter who it is. If I sent you, I sent you to have a word of exaltation. Hallelujah. I sent you to exalt, not to insult, not to destroy, not to tear down. I sent you to build up. And that's what every believer has been called to do. If you are believing, you sincerely love the Lord, and I know everybody on this phone does. Praise the Lord. I know you do. I am not confused. You are all servants and lovers of the Most High God. You've been called to use these principles to first change your own environment. Let me go back to the couple pair of pants and the shirts. From 1997, by the time 2025, we own buildings. We have businesses. My business, let me give you an example. Out of 100 clients that I have in my business, right, and some of them spend quite a bit of money because I know what I'm doing and I know how to help them because I have a marketing background. And out of those 100 clients, probably 95 of them are Caucasians. Watch how God moves. Out of the 95 of them that are Caucasians, 93 of them are believers. Because when those principles kicked in, because when the principles go out, reciprocity comes in. And so God was putting other believers in my life because they saw my walk and they trusted me enough to say, sir, whatever amount I have to spend with you, I will. Because I trust that you care about me, my family, and my business enough, I know you'll do the right thing. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Principle. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
And so through utilizing these principles, and I'm as transparent as I can, as you'll allow me to be, through using those principles, God has delivered us into owning our own buildings. And I think I'm going to also thank everyone that's on this Bible study, because a couple of weeks ago, last time we met, I asked, please pray for what we're trying to do in the community, because we're getting ready to go and get, and asking the mayor, the city, and the county to support a reparations program where we can now, on a larger scale, impact the Black community, get people into housing, get people some entrepreneurial support, because we got a lot of young Black entrepreneurs out there. In fact, Sister Hawanda is one of them. And of the few people that I have that are African-American customers, half of them don't even have the money to put a deposit on a website. I'm telling you the truth. Not because they're not doing the right things with their money, but because they haven't had the opportunity to make as much money as some of the Caucasian counterparts they have. And so we're sitting right now
as the Bible says, when you follow him, he'll seat you in heavenly places. My God, we're sitting with the mayor, we're sitting with this person, that person, people who you would never meet on an everyday basis. And whoever's been praying, the city is saying we're going to support it.
Amen.
So we're going to, on a large scale, and this is why I said we must come together, especially with, and I know I'm off point, I'm way off the scripture, but I'm talking about what I think the Lord would have me to say to his people. Because with Trump sitting in office, and we talk about principles, not his color, with Trump sitting in office, his principles are bad, even though he's disguising them behind Christian good. But his principles are bad. He just eliminated, he sent out an executive order that said, stop all government funding on everything. That means there's some people who get food stamps, they won't get them. That means there's some people on Medicare, they're not going to get it. There's some people who are functioning up under government programs that are funded by the government, they won't have that money. And so a judge had to stay that law and say, oh, no. But they only stayed it until Monday. So if that man does not make a, if they can't stop him, there's going to be so much hurt and pain. Amen. Ooh. It's coming.
Yes, it is.
If we do not hang together, if we do not learn to get past and beyond whatever this programming they've done to us that makes us not trust people of our own color, it makes us hurt and look at another black person and not even respect and honor their intelligence or respect and honor their experience because they can lead and guide us, but we won't let them lead and guide us because of their color, because that makes you a respectful person. It's time for us to be delivered so that we can be delivered. And so I'm saying, if we do not stick together now, we will surely hang alone. If we do not hang together, this man will make you hang individually. We as the body of Christ and the church have to get to a place, and I love what you all are doing out there in Rockford, Brother Tavon, bringing men together and so forth. I praise God for that. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We have to do that right here. We have to be able to get our women to get with our women and start supporting each other and start having some outreach within inside the community so that the women that are dealing with the children and four or five kids and they're by themselves, they don't have any help, they don't have anybody to help them babysit, they don't have this, and don't have a place where they can gather together and say, sister, I'm frustrated, please pray for me. If we don't get together and we don't get our act in order, I can preach till the cows come home and there's still going to be a lot of pain and suffering. We have to get past something in our hearts and our minds and learn how to unequivocally love each other, even if I don't trust you.
Amen.
Amen.
Did y'all hear that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's unconditional love.
Even if I don't trust you, I still got to love you. And that's why he said, love one another. That's what he's talking about. You have to learn how to love me even if you don't trust me yet. And to love me means you have to try to find ways to support until I do something to make you stop supporting.
Amen.
Glory to God. I hope I'm talking to somebody, because I think the Lord is talking to me right now.
Amen.
We have to support until you make me not support you. And then when you make me not support you, then I got the right to walk away because you've injured. You don't have the right to injure the people, man. We got to learn how to love love. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We as a people have to learn how to love love. And I'm talking healthy love. I ain't talking about love sex. I ain't talking about love somebody that's sitting back telling me how cute I am. I ain't talking about that love. I'm talking about we got to learn how to love the love of God and be able to see it and identify it, know when it's real,
and know how to take it and use the principle of love to further one another's visions and goals.
Amen.
I went too far. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
No, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And so so to your question, the difference between the law, Old Testament, mm-hmm. you had to do it, and that was the only way to get God to respond to you. The New Testament, it's a principle, which means you can or you don't have to do it. Because it's a principle. You can use it or not use it. And if you don't use it, you'll get what you get. If you do use it, you'll get what he's got. Don't use it, you get what you get. And one of the main principles, he said, I'll know you as my disciples by the way you love one another. That's a principle. I'll know you by the way you treat each other. There's nothing on this planet that can make me come home and backbite the people at the church.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever come home and go, well, you know, brother so-and-so, man, he was like, oh, man. I don't do that. That brother's got to learn just like I had to learn. That sister's going to learn just like I had to learn. If they got a relationship with God, God is teaching them through the mistakes that they're making, just like he had to teach me through my mistakes, principles. Glory to God. So we're off Romans, but I think we're on point. Praise the Lord. I think we're on point. And I'm saying you have to carry that message right into every community and to every house you touch. You have to carry that. And everybody may not appreciate you. Some of them may reject you. But you better carry it anyway, because it's a principle. Mm-hmm. And if they hate you, God is going to love you. if they reject you, God is accepting you. If they don't do, does anybody understand what I'm saying? Because I don't want to get you lost in this. Because I think I'm just sharing what my heart is saying. But I say this because if you connect up right now, any one of you, if you connect up with a significant other, watch the principles at work, and you do everything that God says to do, it may be 4 years or 5 years of torture while you're being with that person because they won't do none of the right things. But at some point, the principle is going to supersede the circumstance, mm-hmm. and God will get rid of that person. They may die.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, but they may die mm-hmm. on you. They'll take off on you. And some of us are so caught up with the person, we forget the principle is in place. God is just getting rid of what he don't want no more in my life. And we have to be Amen. Able to accept the principles and let that thing go. Praise the Lord. It's gone. Praise God. Because there's better waiting on me because his principles are applying. And when he said all things have to work to the good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose, that's a principle from God. That means it's got to happen.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
That has to happen. So no matter what I'm going through right now, I still know all things have to work to the good because that's his word. And his word cannot return void. So if I just stand still and behold the mighty hands of the Lord, like Moses did in the desert in Egypt when he was bringing the people out, and he thought it was all over because he saw chariots behind him. He saw the Red Sea in front of him. And Moses and the people were complaining and murmuring, you brought us out here to die. Why are we following you? You're an idiot. How did you get us over to this point just to get us run over by some chariots? And Moses went up on a rock and sat there with his head down going, God, how could you leave me in this circumstance? And then he heard a word from the Lord that said, stand still and behold the mighty hand of the Lord. And then the Red Sea began to part, and a pillar of fire showed up in front of the chariots, and God began to do God's part of the thing. Trust God. There are principles in place that if we follow those principles, they will work.
If you work them, they're meant for you to prosper. They're meant for you to be able to be healthy. They're meant for you to be okay. They're meant for you to live and live abundantly. They're meant for you to do those things. And if you use them, they'll do it. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. The floor is open. You all can say it's open for you all. Input. I don't think we got the full book of Romans, but praise the Lord. We got as far as I think the Lord needs us to go. Anyone want to share?
I mean, you gave me some clarity. You gave me some real clarity on that. The difference in the law and what a principle. I'm real big on principle because I do understand what a principle is. And the principles is it makes the thing work. Without the principle of the thing won't work. So that's very important to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I figured out what God wants to give me in my life is not healing, not a job, it's not money. But what God wants to give me in my life is the word of God in my spirit.
Yes, sir.
And that, the principles applied, all the other things, it falls into place.
Mm.
So it is all about principles.
Mm-hmm.
The principles make things work. It's like a car.
Mm-hmm.
Not gonna run without gas. It's a principle to put the gas in the car to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
So when I read the Word of God, when I pray, and when I meditate, I'm concentrating on His principles. I'm concentrating on His principles.
Mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't work without it. But you really gave me clarity on the difference between the two. Appreciate it.
Hallelujah. And
my
take is you gotta have faith and you believe the word and sense and sincerity.
Your phone is breaking up a little bit, Brother Dewan.
You gotta believe everything you see in the Bible and believe it.
Would you? Yep. Yes.
Sorry about that. Yeah. Yes, sir. Praise the Lord. Anybody else?
Anyone else?
What question did you ask, Pastor?
Well, we were just, it's open for discussion, just whatever you wanted to come and what you want to share out of what you've heard or questions that you might have.
Okay.
Well, he asked about faith. You talked about sickness. I'm going to talk about both belief, faith, and sickness, all three. I don't know if you heard me before say, I heard you say you could have been dead. I could have been dead when I had COVID, especially mm-hmm. from the medical perspective, because my job told me that I couldn't have had a temperature as high as I had because my organs were supposed to shut down. My doctor told me that 109 temp wasn't even on a thermometer, and it was impossible for me to have a temperature that high. But when I sent my doctor the picture of the thermometer, my doctor went into full panic mode, like ER, get out. And I had to calm my own doctor down and tell her, I'm not going anywhere. I told her, I'm going to do what I need to do. God got it, and I'm going to be okay. Yeah, after that, she ran. Once everything cleared up, even so a month afterwards, she was still running tests to make sure my kidneys was okay, everything was okay. She's like, I've never seen nothing like that in my whole practice. She said, I did not even think 109, and you still okay? That's why I say I have unshakable faith. Because I'm a walking miracle. So is my dad. You know, so God has been good to us over here.
So, thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm still in my right mind. I'm still walking, talking. But God is good. At all times, I have to say that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Sister Donna. That was powerful. Thank you so much. Yes. Anyone else?
Yes, that right there, that when something like that happens, that's what grows our faith. That's a confirmation. That's it don't get no clearer than that. Especially a person. And then you know what it is. So now your faith is even bigger. Your faith is even stronger. And firm. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I think I heard you say something about like even her sharing and you sharing, each one of us sharing our testimony. That's what build other people's faith as well, to know that whatever was done for them, I know it can be done for me. So
Amen.
I always appreciate being in a space where people can be vulnerable and in a safe space to share what they've been through, because I feel like us as saints, our life should be an open book too, you know, because that's how we able to help somebody else when we feel like we can let go of the secrets and the things that's in the closet, you know, and get to the place to where we're not ashamed of nothing that we've been through, knowing that it's all a part of our story and it don't dictate who we are or who we become.
Yes, that's good.
Sister Hawanda, you say some of the most profound things. You say some of the most profound things. You know, I'm not surprised that the enemy has attacked you in the manner that he's attacked you. Your gift
needs
to be shared with thousands of young ladies. Really should be.
Yes, sir.
Because they need to be, our young women and young men, they really need transparent people of God to be before them.
Yes.
The reason that they're turned off by God is because the majority of the people of God is showing up in front of them, are showing up with them holy armored suits that make them so stiff that the person is looking at them and going, well, your life looks like it's always been perfect. They need to know you can make a mistake. They need to know that we've made mistakes, and God, the propitiation of our sins, glory to God, what we just read in Romans, that he made a place that the minute I'm ready to say I'm sick of this, he's going to step in and begin to turn the whole circumstance around so that you can have a testimony that you can share with some folks. But it starts with being transparent.
Yeah.
I mean, I admit it. Listen, I have a pastor. Every pastor should have some leadership that he's under. I have people that I talk to that I trust as leadership to speak into my life. I would never sit up under somebody who's running around acting like they ain't had no problems. I don't want it. Because something is very, very wrong.
Amen.
You can all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if you can walk around and act like you ain't never had no problems, and your biggest problem has been whether you got an A or a B in math when you were in college, you can't be my pastor.
No.
Amen.
I
how you going
to
help me?
They can tell me how God works. Does that make sense? And so in closing, to that point, I pray that you receive what I'm saying with the spirit that is giving, because it's okay to have failed.
Yes.
And it's okay to admit that you failed.
Yes.
It's okay to say, I'm still dealing with this issue or that issue. What's not okay is to accept the fact that these issues ain't gonna never resolve themselves with God. There's nothing too hard for God. Nothing is too hard for Him. And so I might be, you know how Jesus said this to the disciples when Judas came and tried to put him on Front Street and said, "Oh, you, that woman put all that expensive oil on your feet. Don't you know, Lord, we could have took that oil and sold it and got money for it, and we could have went out and fed the poor with that money." He tried to make Jesus feel guilty. And Jesus responded and he said, "First off, brother, let me tell you something. The poor will be amongst you always." Watch where I'm getting ready to go. Once you could be the poor and you could have been the always, but once you come into the kingdom, you ain't gonna always be poor.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try that.
Hallelujah.
Not if you're serving a God that says, "Though I was rich, I made of myself poor that you might become rich." He's telling you that there's some principles that are in place. If you use those principles, you trust those principles, stay away from them crazy goofballs that keep telling you, "Oh, well, it's just about being a good person in God." No, it's about being a good principled person in God. And if I ain't gonna walk in principles, they ain't gonna never work. And what I'll become is a religious, armored up, constantly looking like I got it all together. But as soon as I leave out the church and go home and look in the mirror, I'm crying, I'm whining, I'm screaming, I'm calling up my mama, my cousins, my uncles, and telling them how bad it is. But then on Sunday, I'll be back in church with a three-piece on. I'd rather put all that mess before God and say, "Father, this is who I am. I just need you to help me to get from this point to the next point. And I'll be careful and cautious to make sure you get the praise and the glory and the honor. I ain't going to talk about how smart I was. I'm going to talk about how good you are." And that sometimes is more than the average person can do. And they can't do it because they don't want to be transparent. One of the biggest tricks that Satan has inside of the church is everybody sitting around pretending they don't have any problems. I mean, people that cannot admit that, you know what, I was a prostitute and God delivered me. The people that sit back and say, "Man, I was sleeping with everybody. I even slept with some people. I even slept with some men and some women, but God delivered me." We don't have them folks standing up and giving testimony. We don't have the folks standing up and saying, "I didn't have an ounce of bread in my house, but I got saved." And Jesus began to take away the laziness. See, because they won't tell you, "I don't have money because I'm lazy." They'll tell you, "I don't have money because somebody fired me." We need transparency and honesty and truth. So God can move through the transparency, honesty, and truth and bring about miracles.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hope and pray you hear me. That's how he gets miracles in, because it starts off as a trial. It turns into a testimony. It's all as misery, and it becomes ministry. That's how it's supposed to work. And if you ain't had no misery, you can't minister to me. How do you even know God is real if you ain't never had any problems that he delivered you from? How do you even stand before a congregation of people and not be able to say, and I ain't talking about some, you know, "I had a cold and God changed it in 3 days. I was up and at him." I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about them people that can sit back and say, "Listen, I still had this on me. That's the reason why a lot of churches are falling. And I'm not talking about the size of the church. I'm talking about the people in charge of the church. That's the reason why you see things like what's happening with Bishop Jakes. That's the reason that you see things like what's happening with many of the churches where people are talking about how pastor slept with this woman and got that woman pregnant and so forth and so on. Because if you're not transparent and honest, Satan is making you hide what you feel, what you're going through, And how do you, and how many of you know on this phone, God said there's nothing that's hidden in the dark that ain't going to come to light. You might as well bring it to light now so it don't show up in the light when it's ready to tear up something.
Hmm. Amen.
Does that even make sense to anybody?
Yeah.
There's none good but God. All have sinned and fallen short. And we've been in places, but to me at least, and I got to be careful with that. But I've been in some places where I've sat back and watched men or women who are teaching and preaching, and their biggest issue is, you know, I just want God to fix my husband.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you tell the truth and talk about how you talk so negative to your husband? Why don't you tell the truth and talk about how you got these anger issues and your husband is just responding to your anger issue? Why not tell the truth on that demon so it can be exercised and delivered from it? They won't do that. No, my husband is so bad. No, my wife is so bad. No, my kids are so bad. You don't think you're playing a part in that? Then you out your mind.
Mm. Well,
glory to God.
That's the truth. That's the
truth. Did I speak truth? Is it okay to talk like that?
Yes, sir.
I can't sit back and talk about how I got this kid who, you know, he's doing all this wrong, so forth and so on. And I'm sitting back trying to tell everybody, y'all pray for him and so forth and so on. I mean, he is just so messed. Who raised him? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Who raised them?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to admit I didn't raise them right. I don't want to admit, man, I was sleeping with 4 or 5 different women, man, but always trying to kid all while he was growing up. And he saw me running around. I got the woman in the bedroom. He's in the other room. I ain't in there trying to read books with him. Ooh, I'm over here. He's hearing, while he's trying to get his schoolwork done. But I'm saying, oh, he's so bad now. I don't know what's wrong with that child. I do.
Yeah. Thoughts right out of my mind when you said that. Even when you were talking about what's in the dark comes to the light, I realized that there's nothing done in secret, especially with a man, a male, because all those secrets are in his loins. He has children. It's like 3-4 generations. Mm-hmm. Those things are passed down. So this guy or this couple child is acting out. They're acting like they don't know why. Sometimes it's because of the father. How is he raising the child, like you said? Those things are so profound to me now that I'm enlightened in that area and I know.
Oh, glory.
It's not always the child's fault. It's like generational curse. It's lack of discipline in the home. The child is being exposed because of so much out here in this crazy world. And you hit it right on the head. Gave goosebumps talking about that.
But I have to come in and say I kind of look at things on both sides. Being in the school system, raising other people's children in daycare and all of that, and watching them grow and grow older. Sometimes now, not going to say all the time, but sometimes those parents, I've seen parents raise their kids and know good and well that their kids were raised well. But a lot of times when they depart away from their parents, they do act up. They do act crazy. They do act out of character. And if you're in there, sometimes where I am, one young man didn't know who I was until he seen me at the church, and then his mouth fell. I told him, I say, if you keep acting up, I'm going to tell your parents because I know you know better. You don't act like that. And he looked at me, he's like, hey, you don't know my parents. When he seen me standing on the door at the church and saw that I was an usher and his mother and his father was one of the ministers, and I looked at him and said, see, I could go tell him right now. He was like, oh, my God. I'm like, yeah. So sometimes those kids do act out of character, and it ain't nothing that, you know, the parents have done.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that, Donna. I don't want anybody to come off and believe that I'm saying it's a one-size-fits-all.
Right.
Nothing is a one-size-fits-all. You have some kids that are just out of character. You got some kids that are being, and a lot of that, watch where I'm getting ready to go. You could be a good parent, and then, let me say first, good parent. But then define a good parent. Right? Is it somebody that made sure the kid ate three times a day, read a book once a week with them, and but at the same time set up and cuss like crazy? At the same time set up and talk about people? I had a kid tell me one day, he said, I won't go to church. He said, because I watched my grandfather and my grandmother, they were like leaders in the church, and all they do is when they came home, they talk about everybody at the church. I don't trust church people.
I've heard that. Yeah.
I don't trust church people. The young man that said that is my son, my adopted son, who was selling drugs at 10. Selling drugs at 10 years old when I met his mother and his family. Today, that same kid is a double master degree school teacher. And he has sent other young men to college on basketball scholarships because he learned basketball. He used basketball to get himself into college scholarship. And then he turned around and started giving back because he had never seen anybody love him like that. Somebody that came in and was actually a parent to him and not a parrot. A parent and not a parrot. Mimicking what somebody taught them, but someone had actually sat down and taught him the principles of life without ever forcing the Bible on them. And there's a lot of folk, there's pastors, and they're forcing the Bible into their children. They're beating them down with the word, not lifting them up by it.
Amen.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen it. And what ends up happening? If I may, you'll end up creating a schizophrenic child. There'll be one way in front of you. And the minute they get out your sight, there's somebody else. When the Bible says, when Jesus says, train up a child in the way that they should go, he doesn't mean the kid is supposed to do what you tell him. He means the kid is supposed to do what you show him.
That's right.
Yeah.
Children don't learn from what you tell them. They learn from the way you live because even, and that's why it says, and when they get old, they won't depart from it. Because what they'll do is there's a switch inside their heads. That when they get in trouble, the first thing a child typically does is go back to his own parenting and go, what mom would have did? What dad would have done with this? And then they end up becoming mom and dad, praise the Lord.
Yeah, it's true.
Because mom and dad had solutions. They didn't have more problems. Mom and dad had solutions. Every time I saw mom and dad get into something, they'd sit down, work it out, sit down, talk, and then mom would take her part and dad would take his part, and they would show up and do things. And man, they worked together. They loved each other. They took care of each other. If one got sick, the other one showed up for the other one. It wasn't. And like I said, it's not a one size fits all because a lot of kids are being raised by other kids. Once they hit 13, their friends raise them. The parents are done because the other kids that tell them, no, this is what you're supposed to do, man. Don't even listen to them, especially in this day and age. You got kids telling other kids, your mama can't even put you out, man. Do whatever you want to do. She can't put you out. You got the right to stay there. The police can't come get you, so forth and so on, because they all know the law now.
That's what I'm talking about.
Influence is very powerful.
Influence is extremely powerful.
The influence is wicked today and age. I mean, we need more leaders with the power of influence that's influencing in the right way. You know, we were talking about they want to go after what they think is cool. So we have to in a position that they can look up to us and want to follow us, follow our lead instead of following those knuckleheads in the street, you know, because these entertainers and they're winning. They're winning our like big time. So we can have good parents, but they think that they would think that the guy in the street or their friend at school that goes for bad is quote unquote cool. And they win them by influence. Because we don't have enough leaders. We don't have enough young leaders. Nothing against my elders, but you know, the youth are looking up to younger people. And most of us, I hate to say, they go for bad. They do. And it's not enough of us. So that we need to step it up. That's what the whole men's conference was about last week. Well, not the whole thing, but the basis of it was. It's a lot of men that's hurting this themselves. Like, it's called a release valve. So we can go as men and kind of just release, because pressure busts pipes. And a lot of men have that outlet they could talk to, and just on a normal basis, but some trustworthy brothers that have solutions and some wisdom and that's been through it. Like you were talking about being transparent. It's all about being transparent and confidentiality, of course, because we have to have some trust there, you know, so we keep coming back and growing and loving on each other. But just pray for that men's group. Hopefully it works. They had like 20 brothers, so hopefully it grows.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, and the women need the same thing. Sisters, you all need that. You all need that, and that's why I brought up you, Sister Hawanda. You've got a great gift. You got to let God use that gift to help a lot of young people, a lot of young women, because they're carrying a lot of weight. Satan is enjoying dropping more weight on them. I had a woman say to me the other day, I was at the Christian, at a meeting for the Christian Giving Fund, and they were talking about some of the things that they do, and they do grants for people in the community based on the work they're doing for the Lord. And there was one woman, she was up there, Caucasian sister. She was trying to get a grant because she says her group helps to buy cars for young women who need transportation. You know, they get clothing and things like that for young women and so forth and so on. And then she told this story as she was talking to the group, as she was making a presentation. She says, oh, by the way, she said, we had a young woman. The woman's only about 26 years old. She's got five kids. She said, and our group we put together and tried to get our monies together so we could get her a vehicle. That's why we're asking for the grant, because we want to help people like that. She says, and praise God, I thought about it and I realized, and she's pregnant again and she's getting ready to have a sixth child. And she says, the Lord, she could use the help, because can you imagine getting on the bus with five kids, having to go to take care of your business, 26 years old, and she's now pregnant with a sixth child. And so we applauded that, because you get it. It's a good work, right? Faith without works is dead. It's a good work. However, what she never said, and I was listening closely, she never said she said anything to the child about stop having babies. There was no ministry there was no one asking, why are you doing this to yourself? What is making you not conscious of the fact that you at this age with all these kids, no father, this is it's destroying you. But only transparency. Someone that can sit in front of that woman and say to her, that young lady with the kids, and say, baby, I had a big lust issue when I was your age. It did this to me. It caused that to happen. And I found the Lord, and the Lord delivered me from that.
And now I know how to live. I know how to select a man. I know what to look for in a man. People need that. Amen. At least that's what I think. And you know, I'm sure we all have different thoughts and opinions, but people need that. That helped me when somebody was able to sit down in front of me and be transparent. Say, no, brother, I've been through this, and I know what that feels like for you, and I know what that was, and I felt the same way. And then I began to learn about my God, and he began to teach me how to do this. Well, that was encouraging to me, because that meant there was hope for me.
Amen.
But God is no respecter of persons. Mm. There was hope for me, and that man shared hope with me. And that's what's missing in a lot of young people's lives. They don't feel like they're going anywhere. Praise the Lord. Y'all know this. They don't feel like they're going anywhere. They know that because of the system, they don't have a lot of opportunities. And I'm going to go back to something that Brother Talon said, and then I'll be through on my end at least. And that is this. One of the other things we have to do to show our children that we have a God, that's why the principles become important, is we have to also show them successful living. Not just kindness. But if they don't see you successful, if you're struggling with the lights staying on, if you're struggling with the phone being cut off every couple of months, can't afford to pay it, if you're struggling with all those things, it doesn't matter how good I am. The message I'm sending, because of the life that I'm in, is still saying this poverty is terrible. And the child is experiencing that. And so it becomes quite natural for the child to stop believing in me.
Yes.
And when a child stops believing in you, they become disobedient towards you.
Yes.
But have the majority of the things you need. Love that child. You love a kid properly. And you begin to teach them not just the Bible, but why I live a certain way and I'm walking this way. Look at what God is doing in our life. Son, did you see what God just did? Man, we had this circumstance show up and see how God delivered it and this happened. Yeah, I saw that, Mom. I saw that, Dad. Now the child is learning about God.
Yes.
But if I just sit back and keep telling my kids God is good all the time, and the kid don't have no food on the table.
Man, come on, Pastor.
God is good all the time. He's getting D's and F's and whatever they give in school today, fours and threes and twos. God is good all the time, but I can't sit down and read with them. Even if I don't know how to read, if I'm just sitting there, he'll read better. Can I give you one more pearl? Is it okay, everybody? I want to give you one more pearl. I want to show you, I want to give you the revelation of what it means when God says this. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land. I want to give you a revelation on that. When you grew up, think about this, right? When you grew up as a child, and the first time you learned to ride a bike, who did you go to first?
My dad.
When you learned how to read, coming from school, and you brought your books in, who did you go to first? Anybody hearing it?
Yeah.
When a circumstance showed up, or you got a sore, you got a headache, who did you go to? Mommy and Daddy. So what that scripture's saying is this. If my people, which are called by my name, would go to their daddy first, to humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I'll heal the land. Now watch what I'm going to say. So let's say, for instance, your kids go out in the backyard. You got a nice house. You live in a neighborhood, houses around you, and your child goes out in the backyard, and they take a baseball bat and a ball, and they go out and they hit the ball and break the neighbor's window. Would you be typically angry? Yes, right? I mean, it's okay to say yes, right? You'd be a little angry. What you doing out there? You know, broke the people's window. You're going to have some consequences. I'm going to make you pay for this, whatever. But what happens if you ask your parent, can I go out in the yard and play ball? And then you broke the window. Is it the same anger? You had permission. Yeah. You ask. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What a revelation.
Yeah.
Ask. So even if it goes wrong, that's mm-hmm. why he said all things work to the good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose, because mm-hmm. if I ask first.
Right.
Even if it goes wrong, he still say, I ain't mad at you. It just went wrong. I got your back. We're going to work it out.
Amen.
But if I do it and didn't ask.
That's
and I
right.
got them bad results. My God. God is a parent just like we are. And he thinks like we think. That's why we're made in his image.
Mm-hmm.
His emotions function like ours. The only thing that's mm-hmm. different is his thoughts are higher than ours. He has bigger purpose.
Yes.
But the feelings and the his love for us is just like our love for our own family. You can learn so much just from that one scripture. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face. If my child, let me give you the negative side of it. If my child comes from school and they come into my room with a book and I'm watching TV and I answer and say, not right now, I'm watching my program. What did I just tell my child?
Mm-hmm.
If they weren't enough for you to stop, yeah. to help them.
Glory to God. Not only do they catch that, because the other thing about seeking my face is your child wants your attention.
Yeah.
That's why we come with the bicycle. Mama, look at me, because I want the approval from mama. I want the approval from daddy, right? I want that. So watch the beauty of it. So if my child comes in with a book and I disapprove of the book and more approve of the television program, I'm going to raise a kid that watches television, because anything that will keep mama and daddy's attention, which I won't, I can talk to her about a soap opera and she'll talk to me all day. I open up a book, she won't talk to me at all. What did I just do?
Yeah, which was important out the way.
Hallelujah. That's a marvelous revelation. If my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Your children, when we raise our children, they're seeking our face all the time. If we turn our face, they're going to find whatever it is that they think we're interested in, and they're going in that direction. It don't matter how many times you tell them don't drink. Don't matter how many times you tell them don't do. Because if you don't give them the attention on the things that are important to you, and they become important to your child. If you got a family annual barbecue and your child goes to the family annual barbecue while he's growing up all his life, your child ain't going to know how to live without a family annual barbecue. Because that's what was important to his family.
The barbecue.
So no matter what the child does, he still wants to go to the family annual barbecue, because that's what was important to us as a family. It was our custom. If we make our customs reading, if we make our customs sitting down and discussing wisdom and knowledge with our children, instead of going, man, you're too young, you don't get this. That's not the truth. Their little brains can understand a lot more than most people think. You should start explaining life to your child at 6. Doesn't matter if they get it. They're learning from you, and they see what's important to you. And believe it or not, by the time your child is 13 or 14, they'll be small, little, articulate geniuses. Why? Because you've explained life, and the child was getting that seed planted, and by the time their brains awaken, they'll remember everything you said. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It is.
So we as the people of God, again, I go back to this, and I said I'd be through, but we've got to go back to the place where we become community, where we become sincere by loving each other, taking care of each other, not using each other. Can't use each other. God is not a God of manipulation. He don't play with players.
Mm.
And if we learn to love each other and honestly step up, sincerely step up to the plate and say, whatever the vision of my church family is, I'm in it. And I'm going with it, no matter how many sacrifices I got to make to be a part of it, no matter what I have to do, it will change everything around us. It'll change your household because they'll see something they've never seen before. They'll see dedication come out. Well, they'll learn from watching the dedication. You can't tell them to be dedicated. You have to show them dedication. They'll learn about holiness over time. But the first thing they need to see is wholeness before they can see the holiness. And if you ain't whole yet, they see the brokenness. And so me being broken and talking about holiness don't make any sense to them.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's close out. Anybody else any comments before we close out? Because we went way past the 7 o'clock mark. Any last comments?
All right.
No? Everyone's good?
Yes.
Yes,
praise
sir.
The Lord. Tomorrow, you were supposed to be going at 6:30, weren't you?
No, it's every other week.
This is you. So oh, it's every other. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we thank God that it was every other week, so we can keep it too long.
Amen.
I'll close out in prayer. Father, we so thank you and magnify you and glorify you. We're needing your revelation and revelation knowledge as your people. Not that we're not walking in it, but we're asking you to deepen it and enrich it for us. So we know how to go out and evangelize our homes, evangelize our communities, evangelize even ourselves so that we don't have to walk around with the feeling of hopelessness, that the concept that things are not getting better. The devil is a lie. And if you said all things work, if you said that you don't, that we don't know the plans that you have for us, that our latter would be greater than our former, we need to believe it. And so we're asking you to introduce into us the principle of faith, not the modicum of faith. We got that already. We need the principle of faith to start speaking to the mountain and ask that mountain to get the heck out of our way.
Yeah.
Cast it into the sea where it belongs so that we can go forward to the glory, to the destinies, to the principle things of you so that we can move mountains around us and we can see people get healed, get better. We can know that we're going to survive whatever the government does, whatever a king does, whatever the devil does. It ain't going to matter because none of them are big enough to outdo what you do. So we need to stand on the principles. We need to walk in the principles, but you need to download those principles so that we know what to walk in and what to talk about and what to say to people and what not to do and when not to do it and where to go and when not to go and what all the wonderful things that make this work.
Thank you. Yes. Hallelujah.
We pray for Sister Donna and her vocation and the children she takes care of, because even if they're not getting it at home, praise the Lord, you stationed her someplace where they could get it. So we ask you to introduce a power and a wisdom and a knowledge so that any child she touches becomes changed, becomes sanctified, and becomes saved at some point, that they accept the fact that God is good even if they have to learn it from her. We pray for Sister Hawanda that her business would prosper and that she would be in good health even if her soul would prosper. We pray for Sister Brother Tamar. We ask that you keep giving him an anointed wisdom. So when he's sitting amongst men, the Bible says his gift will make its room for him. So that the men will be able to hear the glory of the Holy Ghost that dwells inside of him. We pray for Brother Dewan. We ask you to continue in his healing so that his walk becomes a testimony to you, and he'll know how to minister to other people that are disabled, and he'll have the courage to let them know that God can do anything but fail.
Anything,
and then, Father,
anything.
We pray for Brother Arnold, and we ask that you continue to impress upon his heart and his mind and his soul the work that you're calling them to do, how to do the work, and when to do the work, so that the work produces the outcome that you set for. And Father, we'll glorify you. We will magnify your name as you teach us how to lift up rather than to let down folk around us. We need to lift up and not let people down any longer. So we praise you. We magnify you.
Hallelujah.
And we ask that this is a done prayer. There is no healing in the prayer. that there are angels' wings carrying this before the throne of grace and mercy and lighting it before your feet so that you can look at it and say, my people that are called by my name just humble themselves and pray. And then I'll hear from heaven and heal the land around them. We thank you and glorify you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I love you all with the love of Christ.
Amen.
Love you, Pastor. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. I thank you all for being here. Brother Arnold will be here tomorrow night, I think. Is that right, Arnold?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thursday night, same time, same phone number. Love you all. God bless you.
Love you all. Amen. Love you all.
Have a good night.
You know the rules, and so do I.
Thank you.